Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security has met to discuss the relocation of the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. In every country worldwide, the U.S. Embassy is located in the capital of those nations. There's only a few variants from that where the capital in that particular country has moved, and there's a little bit of a lag time between the move and the move of the embassy. But we have typically, as a matter of routine, respected the designation of every country in terms of what it decides its capital is and where it should be located, except one, and that is Israel. Israel's capital has always been, going back to King David, Jerusalem, and it remains the capital of Israel today. So why is our embassy, Matt, not in Jerusalem? Why is it in Tel Aviv, a big city, but it's not the capital of
Israel? Yeah, what happened with that?
Pro-Islamic forces, pro-Palestinian forces have intimidated the United States so far into not placing the embassy and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, which it is and which it has always been. And President Trump, you'll remember, during his campaign, he promised, that was one of his big campaign issues, we're going to move the embassy, we're going to move it to Jerusalem where it belongs. Yet, strangely, he has signed a six-month waiver to delay the moving of the embassy. And the second waiver deadline of the Trump administration is on December 1st. So hopefully, I'm praying that he does the right thing before then.
But let's back up even more. I mean, the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995 was passed by the Senate and by the House to move the embassy. But yet we had Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama did not fulfill that law. What's going on?
And President Trump, during his early time, he also did not fulfill that as well. He issued a six-month waiver according to the law. Again, this was passed in 1995, 93-5 in the Senate, 374-37 in the House. And that's the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It requires that the embassy in Israel be moved to Jerusalem by requiring the withholding of State Department funds if it is not moved.
Yeah.
So these presidents have not fulfilled the law.
Yeah, so and what it also does is say the president can have a temporary six-month waiver to delay that. Now, this was supposed to be completed many, many years ago, but the presidents have signed these waivers. So they've kicked the can down the road. Now, I understand why they kicked the can down the road. They think that, in fact, if they move it, it's going to interfere with their ability to bring, quote-unquote, peace to the region. And it's going to upset the Palestinians. It'll upset some of the other surrounding Arab countries like Jordan, Egypt, maybe some of the others, because of the political pressure those countries are under. But you know what? Israel was founded as a modern nation, state, in 1948. The surrounding countries wanted to destroy Israel in 1948. The British mandate came to an end May of 1948, which means that the British, which controlled the land when they conquered it from the Ottoman Empire, they ultimately decided to withdraw. The Balfour Declaration, the League of Nations mandate, ultimately decided collectively and individually by Great Britain and the other nations like France, that this would be a place for the Jewish state. So in May, Great Britain withdrew its security. Did we have peace? No. The other nations surrounding it ultimately decided as soon as Great Britain withdrew its security forces, they were going to destroy Israel. And they came against Israel. Israel fought back and Israel won and Israel became an established nation in 1948. Then again, 1967, They decided to do the same thing, led by then Nasser, the president of Egypt, and he got Syria and Jordan and a number of other Arab states together. They decided to come after and destroy Israel. They actually were bragging, Nasser particularly, that they're going to have lunch in Tel Aviv in the next couple of days. No big deal. We're just going to destroy them, wipe them off the map. Jordan had actually occupied half of Jerusalem. They had no right to do that. That was not provided to them by Great Britain or the League of Nations, the precursor to the United Nations. And they decided to take a preemptive strike against the other side of Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, the Jews. They wanted to wipe them out. Israel fought back. They pushed the Jordanians back across the Jordan River. From then till now, 50 years, it's been unified capital. There is no East and West Jerusalem. It's a unified city. So have we had peace since then? Because they've done these six-month delays. The 1995 Embassy Act said, let's move it to Jerusalem. That's the capital.
Yeah.
They keep kicking the can down the road. No. When you're dealing with terrorists, you can't negotiate with them, especially right. when they don't acknowledge yeah. your right to exist. They don't acknowledge Israel's right to exist. So kicking this can down the road is not going to appease them a bit.
Right, especially when we're funding terrorism right now. We're fighting for things like the Taylor Force Act and things like that to withdraw that funding. So we're funding terrorism, but yet we keep kicking the can down the road about moving the embassy. That does not make sense.
And Matt, you made the exact point I was going to make. These are Islamic nations that deny the right of Israel to even exist.
Yeah.
They want to destroy Israel. So to think that somehow it's going to placate these anti-Semitic nations is ridiculous. It's really an anti-Semitic act to continue to kick the can down the road.
And we participate in it. The longer we go without moving the embassy, we are ratifying that anti-Semitic sentiment there, and we're not helping the issue. So President Trump, I understand he in his campaign, he promised to move the embassy to Jerusalem. The 6 months came about shortly after he became president. He signed the waiver because he wanted to at least see what was possible with regards to negotiations. And he said that it's not a matter of if the embassy will be moved, it's a matter of when the embassy will be moved, continuing his promise to move the embassy. Well, December 1, coming up soon, is the next 6 months. And if he does not sign the waiver, then the process of moving the embassy will continue to move forward. We're not going to rest until the doors of the embassy actually open right. in Jerusalem.
So people need to flood their legislators' offices, call, you know, make your voice known that this is a priority and the president needs to fulfill his promise.
And, you know, the hearing, Jonathan Alexander in our Washington, D.C. office attended the hearings where they took testimony. And the hearings consistently were from Israelis as well as Americans to move the embassy to mm-hmm. Jerusalem.
Very positive.
And that by not moving it, you actually don't advance the cause of peace, you actually undermine it, because when you say you're going to move it, or when you refuse to move it and just simply do these waivers, then it emboldens the other side. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't, when you show your weakness to these terrorist leaders, these countries, that just emboldens them. It doesn't ultimately do what you would see in the Western world,
right.
where you decide to negotiate. They're not negotiating. Their ultimate goal, Matt, is total annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. You can't negotiate that.
No, you cannot negotiate with terrorists. That's always been the United States' official policy. And by doing this, we are negotiating with terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website. Liberty Counsel has been very involved in Israel-related matters. We have the ministry Christians in Defense of Israel. The website is CIDIsrael.org. That's our Christians in Defense of Israel. And Covenant Journey, covenantjourney.org. That's covenantjourney.org. That is also a ministry of Liberty Counsel. And this is a ministry that ultimately takes Christian college-age students who have leadership potential to Israel for a life-changing experience. And we'll be taking them to Israel a number of times in 2018. Pray about supporting Liberty Counsel, specifically some of our Israel-related ministries, Christians in Defense of Israel, and Covenant Journey. If you want to transform the life of a Christian young leader, Covenant Journey is a powerful ministry that does just that. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, for more information.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, 407-875-1776, lc.org.